for the quickest taxi service in Leeds.
Broadcasting 24 hours a day from Leeds University Union.
The sound
of students in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Hello and welcome to the art show on Leeds Student Radio. First off, we're going to have Helen telling us a little bit about the Below the Belt exhibition.
Hello. I went to see Below the Belt, which is at Duncan Street. It's an exhibition by 5 Leeds College of Art students, and it's all about masculinity, apparently. And it's supposedly a feminist art exhibition. And I have to say, it was awful. It was terrible.
Straight to the point.
Yeah, I was really expecting to be, like, really shocked, to be like, oh my god, this is so not feminist. But it was just really boring. And, like, it was a really... For one, they hadn't cleaned the space out, so you couldn't tell what was dirt or what was art. And for another, it was just really uninteresting and nothing made sense. And I would not recommend going.
So I saw on the Facebook event that there was some interactive elements to the exhibition. Could you tell us a little bit about what those were, if you could tell what they were?
I think on the exhibition opening, there was a fruit orgy.
Which
was 15 guys in a room with loads of fruit. But I missed it.
Oh, no.
Nutritious.
I think that might have been the highlight. But I wasn't there to experience it, which is quite sad. But yeah, no, it was really nothing, and it really annoyed me because it was one of those pretentious exhibitions which don't include anyone, and no one can understand what's going on. And people who do are lying, I think.
So what kind of stuff was there? As it was International Men's Day, was it completely male-focused? And I also saw on the Facebook page a lot of stuff about them not being any, like, trans artists or female artists involved.
It was 5 male artists. I don't think any of them are transgender. I think they're all straight guys. But I think it was just, like, quite a lot of people were just kind of causing arguments about it because they thought it wasn't... I don't think the art at all was... You couldn't get anything from the art, so I can't tell whether it was feminist or non-feminist. But, I mean, a lot of people were saying that it was very, like, exclusive by not putting any women in the exhibition or any... any, like, trans or any other people. Because you don't really get, like, a rounded view. If it's about masculinity, sure, it should be about, like, everyone's view of it. But, I mean, I think it kind of... They wanted to cause a scene. I think the whole point was that it wanted to be, like, ooh, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
So do you think they used the kind of feminist... well, the word feminism...
As an excuse.
As well, as a kind of marketing tool.
Definitely.
Yeah,
100%.
Trying to get people to attend.
It wasn't worth it.
Okay.
But however, there is some other stuff in town which you should go see, which is on today. And the Invisible Flock, they're at the Everyman Cinema, and you can download an app, and it's a virtual tour of Leeds on your phone. And it's meant to be really good. And it's the first release, so it'll be really interesting to see.
There's loads of fantastic stuff been going on this week with Compass Festival. I've headed to a couple of things, and both of them have been amazing and free as well, which is fantastic.
Did you go to the car?
Yes, I did, but that wasn't part of Compass, but that was terrifying.
Okay.
I went to see Slung Lowe's The Fixer. Well, I say see, participating. That was a terrifying experience. Not something I could really talk about on the radio in like 5 minutes, but I'm definitely going to put a review up on the blog. There was a lot of scary text messages and knives and shovels and things and cars and phones. Yeah, so it was just terrifying.
Whoa.
Yeah, so now we're gonna hear a song. This is Lone Lady with Groove It Out. Na, 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 na.
Oh,
I listening 24 hours a day.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
That was Love Lady with Groove It Out. Now, if you've been following us on Instagram, you'll have seen that Mark went to see Lady Gaga in Sheffield.
Yes, I certainly did. It was
last week, and had loads of lovely pictures of people dressed up in all their Gaga finery. So this week, as some of the fans were pretty, what's the word? Enthusiastic.
Yes.
Faye and Mark are going to be debating, where do you draw the line between admiration and obsession?
Yes, definitely. So I went to go see Lady Gaga on Thursday, and before I went, I was fairly certain that I was just more of a spectator than a fan. But after meeting all the other fans, some who said I've seen her up to 7 times already, and just getting to know them in the crowd, I got a bit confused, because I know whether to lie, I'm a bit of a fan of Madonna. A few years ago I went to go see her, and every time people get to know me a bit more, they think, oh, are you more obsessed with her? Are you just liking her a bit too much? And I was like, well, I'm quite a bit of a bigger fan, but after seeing Lady Gaga on Thursday, I thought, you know, have I got to be comparing these people? Have I got to be someone's fan rather than another? And then you see, this is what you see on like social networking on Twitter. You see a lot of trolls trying to like ruin the reputation of other artists. And I thought it'd be quite interesting to discuss whether or not there is a line between admiration and obsession. And Faye, I believe you're a bit of a fan of One Direction.
Yeah, this is embarrassing to say on the radio. I think I've got quite a good music taste, but I do love a bit of 1D, a bit of Harry Styles. And I've seen them 3 times now. I know, don't laugh. They're pretty good. But I think the obsession that comes along with like One Direction is kind of different, because a lot of the fans are very young. And I saw them at Wembley this summer, and I did wait outside for, I'm not going to say how many hours, but a lot of hours. And there's girls sort of as young as like 11, like younger than that, like with their parents, like forcing them to wait. And I just think, what has it come to that these people are like, I don't know if it's wasting their time, like especially when they're that young, it's kind of scary that people can get that involved and that like invested in a musical act, and one that's not even that credible.
When you went, what was the community sort of atmosphere for you? Was it?
I think it's definitely different to the Gaga, because I've seen from your photos that everyone's there as like an experience, whereas the One Direction fans, they were quite aggressive, quite like territorial in a way. Like
when you say aggressive, do you mean aggressive towards each other?
Towards each other, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is strange. That's not what I would have expected.
Yeah. No, you'd expect it to be really nice, but people were, like, screaming, people were pushing, like, I had, like, scratches on me from, like, people trying to, like, get past you to the front. And, like, people would be holding banners in the audience, and other people would be throwing stuff at the banners, like, screaming at them, trying to get them down, because they wanted to see Louis.
See, I had someone behind me with a banner that you spent God knows how long on it, like sequins and everything. And
people put lights on them now, like fairy lights.
It was like a huge, it could have been a piece of art within itself, but obviously, like the stewards tell them not to bang on because of the staging.
Yeah.
The catwalk went over the people's heads as opposed to like just being a straight end on their staging. But the people around us, they were loving the banner, and they were just like helping them, like helping them to show the banner to Lady Gaga. And the atmosphere was really, really nice, but before I went to the concert, I always had this like premonition that, oh god, monsters are here, oh they're gonna tarnish you, they're gonna sort you out, sort of thing. Like, I think maybe it's a sort of minority thing online. You'll see a few people being really horrible, and you could probably connect it to a bit of like religion, really.
It is, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I think people want to belong to a group, and they feel very like possessive over their artist. I think people choose one. Like, especially with social media now, people choose, like, what team, like, what sort of fandom they're in.
I think, for me, I think it was quite similar to that kind of minority thing, because of what I've seen on Twitter and kind of Facebook, I guess I'd love to go see Lady Gaga. I think it would be an incredible show. Fantastic. But I feel like because I'm not a super duper fan, maybe I would be looked down upon by the other, and maybe that's kind of something that would happen more at a One Direction concert. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I certainly felt undercover at first.
Yeah,
before I went in,
like Louis Theroux.
Yeah, I was just like, just like with my normal normal shirt on and jeans that I normally go to a gig with. But I had listened to an art pop album, and whereas I laugh about it quite a lot, I actually realised it's actually quite a good concept. You know, when I walked in, you had like the beacon of hashtag art rave shining on the massive projections. You had lights and a rave music for like the first 2 hours.
Amazing.
And so when it did start, I got carried away and I'm like a fangirl, and I walked out with a t-shirt on. I felt as if I was converted for a while. But then I did notice like there was a few people like following around, like screaming, "Oh my god, I love you so much." And as I was watching the show, I felt more sort of, I appreciated the concept, what she had. You know, it was really interesting to watch the show and see how it went on.
And do you feel accepted by the monsters?
I'd like to think so. I mean, I hope I've not like offended anyone. If anyone's listening that I met you on Thursday, you are lovely people. But when I did walk out and the haze went after a few minutes, I just thought, wow, what happened? I really got stuck into that.
Yeah, I'm a big Beyonce fan, and I've seen her, and days after I've seen her, I've just been like in a bit of a, what is my life, like a bit of a trance, like after, I think people get built up on social media so much that when you do go, it is a big experience, I think, like, and I think that the hype can induce crazy fan activity.
So do you think that this is a brand new thing, this kind of crazy fan thing, or has it always been around but now we just see it on Twitter?
I think it's more prominent because of social media. If you look back in the 60s when the Beatles were around, because they were like one of the few biggest bigger bands, it felt as though there was, you know, more fans just to like one artist. But because today there's more of a variety, and I think because different artists market differently, people are more mainstream, more like the more local based. I think because we have sites like Twitter, you've got SoundCloud, Spotify, there's more of a like angle for people to address their fandom, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think as well, like, online communities spring up for all kinds of different things, not just music.
Yes, definitely.
The most niche thing in the world, if you go on Tumblr, someone will almost definitely have
Nick Knowles.
Yeah, I went on Tumblr, someone sent me a Tumblr that was Ryan Gosling with arts administration quotes photoshopped onto his face. And I was just like, who is making these? Someone else wants to do that. So yeah, maybe that just happens with music as well.
Yeah, it's definitely not just music where you see a lot of fan bases. I think because music is one of those like forms of art where, because it's always in the background, whether you're listening to it on the radio, whether you're listening to it at home, it's kind of always there. Whereas if you wanted to go see a certain performance, if you wanted to follow like a group of actors, that would be a bit more niche, I'd say. So that probably wouldn't have more of an impact online, because, you know, the media just has to grab onto one small like bad experience of a fan for that to like perpetuate. Whereas if you've got like a smaller community, they're kind of not doing it for the attention that maybe some like the minority of fans of other people might be doing.
Yeah.
So Faye, do you think a lot of the people at, you know, the admirers / I don't know if we have another word of One Direction at the concert, do you think they were there because they're so enthralled in the music, or do you think they all fancy Harry Styles?
I think
a combination.
I think it's a bit of a combination. I think it's fun. Yeah. I think it's fun, like, it's not taking it seriously, like, it's a bit of a laugh. But I think, really, when it comes down to it, every girl that's there, or guy, is thinking, oh, maybe Harry will see me. Maybe Harry will wave at me and pull me onto the stage. But I think there's definitely a difference in the fans between Lady Gaga and One Direction, for example. I think with One Direction, it's more like being a fan is something, like, especially with younger girls, I think being a fan is something that they're like expected to do, and like they're expected to act in a certain way when they're there. Like, it's this sort of community of like hysteria, I think.
It's like if you watch just a standard program and like the showing a gig, they'll do the stereotype of like girls screaming and like fangirling their
crying.
Heads off.
But
I think there's a bit of similarity with fans following like artists over the country, waiting backstage and stuff. But when I was at the concert on Thursday, there was a section where Lady Gaga was talking about the Born This Way Foundation, which is like a sort of charity that she set up to support her fans, because a lot of fans have a lot of like connection to their personal life and use that music as an outlet just to help them through it.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're following it as a sort of, oh, thank you so much, you've helped me. Whereas with One Direction, whether or not they've done, they've helped people with what they've done, whether it's just the music, I'm not too sure, but I think it's that sort of atmosphere, like we were talking about earlier, like there'll be a difference between wanting to meet someone who's helped and then just wanting to meet maybe a form of entertainment.
Yeah, definitely. But I think when it comes down to it, if people are having fun, if people are enjoying themselves, then I don't think you can say you're too much of a, you like this thing too much. I think if someone's passionate, I think in like no matter what way, what form it comes out in, I think it, we can only say that it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's probably just like a night out, it's, you know, it's once in a lifetime thing for someone to go see something, so they probably, it'll be easy to get carried away. However, you do have on the other spectrum, you have people receiving restraining orders.
Yes.
And I think that's probably where the line definitely crosses.
Yeah. So be enthusiastic, but don't send anyone death threats or, you know, stalk people.
Yeah, I think artists...
Be nice.
Yeah, they'd like to have a little rest after the show. Don't follow them to the house, you know, just let them have a night off, you know.
Maybe. Okay, well, thank you very much, Faye and Mark. Wonderful debating as ever. Now we're going to hear some lovely, perfect Sunday morning music. This is Monster Rally with Orchids. Monster Rally, and now Mark's going to tell us a little bit more about the independent sessions that he went to last week.
Yeah, it's been a busy week for me in terms of music, hasn't it?
Definitely, been everywhere.
So, unfortunately, Lauren couldn't go to review this piece at the library because the function room wasn't actually accessible for her. So, if you are a wheelchair user or if you have difficulties, I recommend you double check the venue just to see whether it's the function room or downstairs for future events, just to avoid disappointment. But anyway, so the eye sessions was, it's like a form of, I suppose, a mini festival you could suggest, and it was backed up by the iPaper. Was a really nice event. We saw five different bands over the course of the night. We started off with a band called Racing Trees, and it was a really nice way to start the gig. It was quite relaxed. There was a mixture between alternative and sort of an indie sound. So they had they had some really good guitar playing skills as well, and it was really quite interesting to watch them. They had quite a short set, and I believe they're quite newly created, so I'd like to see them, you know, in future events. I'm sure they'll do well. They were followed by a band called Six Broken Sticks, and the only way I could describe it was to think of the main singer of like Jarvis Cocker's Prodigal Son.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
he was quite a title.
I don't want to use the word sassy, but he was rude to the audience, and I felt as though I didn't know whether to like enjoy that or not. I think he left saying, "We've been Six Broken Sticks and you've been flaccid." I think he left as that.
Okay.
And we were like, "Oh, I don't know how to feel." But he had a really good like showmanship when he was performing. He had a really low sort of baritone voice, you know, put me in mind of bands like Editors and stuff. And the band itself, they looked like three members from different bands like coming together, and it was just really fun to watch. So you know, if you're not easily offended, if you like being called flaccid by the band which you're watching, then I recommend you check them out. That's Six Broken Sticks. And I think a few weeks ago when we had the iFeature, a lot of the band's music will be online. I think Six Broken Sticks were the only band to not do it. But everyone else I mentioned in this, you'll be able to check them out easily through the blog.
Yeah, and it's all posted up on our blog. So last week we played, the week before, we played a few tracks from people that were doing the iSessions. So you can go back and check them out. There's all the links on there.
So like the next artist was Naomi Chambers, and I think she's getting herself around, actually. I noticed she was at the terrace of the open mic night a few weeks ago, and she's fantastic. I was going to say fabulous, but I'll go with fantastic instead.
Concert.
I'm sorry, it's happening again. She's an acoustic artist, she's solo, and she's really, really talented. She's got a beautiful voice. And it sort of made the atmosphere really relaxed, and it was really nice. So again, check her out. All these artists were really quite interesting, and I can't recommend more enough to go check out these nights, because I probably wouldn't have visited it if we weren't covering it. And it's always worth going to see bands and open mics, because there's so much talent in Leeds
and local music. And later we'll be hearing from Nicola Reed, who is organising the Leeds busking competition, and that is another place you can go see loads of local Leeds Yorkshire acts. Yeah. So definitely check that out and keep listening.
It's good. It's different. It's a different night out as well. I mean, the next band we had on was called White Rabbit Club, and I wasn't particularly a fan. I mean, personally, I know I said I enjoyed being offended by Six Broken Six, but I found White Rabbit Club to be quite sort of cocky. Oh. The bloke he was singing, he was kind of just drinking all night, he had a sort of an aura around him, and I didn't really quite enjoy it, because when he was on stage, I just didn't feel a connection. Okay. I felt as though the band was sort of just, yeah, we're here, this is our moment, but
we don't care about the audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
What kind of music were they playing?
Yeah.
I think because it had gone from Naomi's sort of nice, relaxed acoustic feel to White Rabbit Club, sort of, it was more heavy and alternative, so maybe that's probably why.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, if I was more of a fan of the heavier stuff, that I might have enjoyed it more. Mm. Or maybe it was just unfortunate for the two genres to go one and on after each other. But something similar happened to a band called Purple Thread, which they finished the night off. And I thought they were a great band. The singer, she did really well trying to get the audience involved, but I think at this point the audience just weren't willing. They did a cover of Crazy in Love, and she tried to get the crowd to dance. And then we moved forward. We shuffled a few steps, but that was about it as far as it went. So it was unfortunate that there wasn't a sort of relationship between the audience and the performer, but overall, it was a really good night. It was nice. Library Pub's always a really nice place to go to. I recommend you check out if there's any future iSessions. And like we said, all the bands that I've talked about are on the blog, so, you know, feel free. If you disagree or agree with what I've said, you know, maybe give us a tweet. See what you feel about the bands.
At This Is LSR.
Yeah.
On Twitter. You can hashtag The Art Show if you really want to show us some love. That would be beautiful.
Please do.
Okay, well, now we're going to hear from Tune Yards, who we love on The Art Show, and this is Real Thing. Never had what you got, what you are, you're simply not. Aren't you tired of this game and all the emptiness of your fate? You can't hold tight to what you have, because there is nothing there to grab. Now life is a shadow.
You never did have what you thought you got. I'm the real thing. They say I'm the real thing. Oh, no. I sound like the real thing. Oh, no. Singing real loud like the real thing. Oh, no. Making them proud like the real thing. Oh, no, no, I come from the land of slaves. Let's go Redskins, let's go brave. You want the truth in tones. Dig this dirt and sift out the bones. They said I'm the real thing. Oh, no. I sound like the real thing.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Safari Guru. means I'm fighting.
24 hours a day.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Right, now Nicola Reed and Vanessa Hello. Maria Hello. Have come into the studio to tell us a bit more about the Leeds busking competition. So,
thanks for having us.
No problem at all. So, I understand that it's on the 2nd of December in the Faversham.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what made you want to organise such a cool, interesting event and what's going to be happening
there? Yeah, thanks. I'm really excited about it. Basically, I'm really interested in doing events type stuff, and there's so much good local music going on in Leeds, so I was like, cool, I want to like organise something that, you know, gets me a bit more experience. And then I was thinking about charities and how to kind of make it relevant. I was thinking there's so many good buskers and things in Leeds, and I've also been really keen to do something for a homeless charity, so yeah, it all kind of made sense really.
So all the proceeds are going to Simon on the Streets,
yes,
charity, I think.
Simon
so
on the Streets.
Can you tell us a little bit about what his charity does and Simon himself?
Okay, so I think I don't actually know where the name comes from, to be honest with you, sir. But yeah, so it's basically, it's a local charity based in West Yorkshire that helps homeless people from around that area. And I particularly was quite keen to work with them because they look at people that aren't receiving help from other means. So they look at particularly like kind of emotional, motivational type help, and they don't just kind of discard people because they're lost causes and things like that. Like they just kind of go that extra mile. And I was really, really impressed by them and definitely was keen to support them.
So it's all for a good cause, which we love.
Yay.
On that show. That's great.
Ethical fun.
Ethical drinking, I think it says on the Facebook event, which is, I've not heard those two words together before, but I quite like that. So you've got a lineup of fantastic local performers, I believe, including Vanessa. Say hello.
Hey.
Really cool stuff. We've got Vanessa does mostly acoustic stuff. We've got a few more acoustic bands. We've got a blues funk band, and we've got a fiddle player. There's a real variation going on. All the acts are listed on the Facebook page and Twitter and things like that. So just type in Leeds Busking Competition. That'll come up for you.
We're on Twitter as well.
So I think it's at Leeds Bus Comp.
At Leeds Bus Comp. Get following. We will be tweeting a link to that right now. Faye's just manning the station.
Awesome.
So at the event, how does the busking work? So do you kind of throw money into a pot for each artist?
Or? Yeah, so basically there'll be like 10-minute intervals between each performer, and they'll all kind of have an open guitar case in front of them, and you can either donate during the actual act, or you can just leave it in for the interval. But the person who raises the most money for Simon on the Streets gets a prize, which will be tickets to Boomtown Festival.
That's amazing.
I'm really excited. I'm so jealous.
I wish I had some kind of musical talent so I could enter.
It's so good.
I really
don't. But yeah, so pretty much just the people that you like the most, I encourage you to give more money to that, and it's, you know, all the proceeds are going to Simon on the Streets. Generally it'll work out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really like that idea of kind of paying for who you like the most. It's like, literally like a
busking competition. I felt like it was really competitive, but healthy competition.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, definitely healthy competition. Okay, well, Vanessa Maria, who's going to be performing at the event, is here in the studio with us.
Hi.
I believe you're going to be performing a song for us.
Yeah, I'm going to do an original song. I was going to do a cover of Vance Joy's Riptide, but I'll show what I've got.
Change of plan.
We'll play some notes.
Okay, fantastic. Well, you want to take it away?
Awesome. This is Borderlands. Okay.
He said he knew the way to Mexico. I said, let's get your car, come on, let's go to the borderlines. To the borderline. We packed our lives into a bike. Friendship and laughter was all we had at the borderline. the borderline. I know you'll find a way. Recognize your mistakes. That taught you to carry on. Though the path is dark and low. The guide we follow through the night, traveling for hours, traveling for miles to the borderline, to the borderline. Running through the open land, bound together, hand in hand, to the borderline, to the borderline. I know you'll find a way. Recognize your mistakes. That taught you to carry on. Though the path is dark and long. The road is broken, we've reached its end. It was a pleasure to share the journey with you, my friend, to the borderline, to the borderline. Your body is weak and your heart lost its beat. If I ever need you, I will find you at the borderline. He said he knew the way to Mexico.
Thank you. That was Borderlines.
Thank you. That was absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So we can expect to hear a lot more of you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Van Marie Music, and I'm on SoundCloud. All my links are on my Twitter.
Fantastic. So. And we'll be putting all that on our blog, so you can listen to more of Vanessa's beautiful voice. Beautiful playing.
Thank you.
So when can people come down to hear more fantastic stuff at your event? It's at the Faversham.
Faversham, which is by Leeds Uni, on the 2nd of December. 7 till 10. Right, details, that would be helpful. 7 till 10. So come on down. Make sure you get there, like, on time, because I don't want there to be any kind of bias. You know, if everyone turns up for the later acts, don't want the money to go to them. So get there on time, there's some really awesome stuff.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And check out our blog for links of all the events and all the music we've just been playing. Now we're going to hear from Young Blood, and this is... Yep, let's have a listen to that.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
That was The Naked and Famous. And now Jasmine is going to tell us about her interview she did with Tallulah Randell.
Yeah, so Tallulah Randell came down to Leeds University Union about a week or so ago on Wednesday with Coffee House Sessions. This happens every Wednesday. It's completely free. And yeah, so it's like a tour, like a university tour of kind of not necessarily new artists, but sort of like different, not well-known artists and everything. And she was absolutely amazing. Managed to get a chance to have an interview with her. Really creative person, creative family as well. One of her brothers is a magician. Ooh. I know, it was quite exciting, their family. She's got an amazing voice. She's quite eccentric. And so here is the interview. So I'm here with Tallulah Randell on the Coffee House Sessions. Just seen her gig. Absolutely amazing. Loving her music. So, just wanted to start off with your new album and everything. Describe it, let us know about it.
So, it's called The Banshee and the Moon, and I wrote it when I was in Berlin, and ended up playing everything on the album. I'd moved out to Germany, and I just had my little kind of bass guitar and piano, and I was holed up in this little flat in winter, and out came this album. And then I decided, like all the other albums, I wanted it to be presented as a book. So started collaborating with different photographers, and there's a black and white picture for each of the songs on the album. And that's it, really. It was released last week, which is great, just through AWOL, which is Artists Without a Label. And like on my other albums, it was crowdfunded as well. So it's. But I mean, what's different from the past two records is this one's a really personal one for me. You know, the first two I played with a band and we recorded live, and it was very much a band sound, whereas this one, it's kind of, you know, it's really my vision, I guess. And I'm really proud of it.
Amazing. So yeah, you've crowdsourced all your music and everything, but also you had a time which you actually with a label and everything. What's the difference between the two?
So yeah, I've crowdfunded. My first album was called Labellus, and I crowdfunded that in 2009. And came up with the idea to release albums as books, and that was born out of living in a house full of vinyl and wanting something that was as close to vinyl as possible. And then Came Alive, which again was crowdfunded through Pledge Music. And then when I came to releasing Alive, some really, you know, some amazing things happened. I got picked up for a publishing deal in the UK. And then I went out to Germany. I was doing a lot of shows out there. And I got signed by a label there. And the album Alive was re-released over there. And I decided to move there. And it was all going really, really well. And it was amazing just suddenly having a team of people. My God, just having a manager and a label kind of helping to organize stuff. And it was brilliant. But, you know, there were kind of some real issues with it. And unfortunately, as these things happen, it didn't really work out. So I ended up moving back to England. And then I spent a good 6 or 7 months deciding whether I kind of had the courage really to, you know, to crowdfund a third album. And, you know, I'd gone from being unsigned to signed in this small little window of like, oh, and then back to being on my own again, and then back in the UK. And it kind of, part of me felt like I was starting again from scratch in many ways. But I dug deep, and Danton Supple, who's the producer for the Banshee and the Moon, was so encouraging and so supportive that I knew that I had a really strong crowdsourcing following anyway from the first two albums. I thought, you know, I'm going to do it, and it's been amazing. You know, it's been hard work. You know, these things always are, but I mean, really incredibly inspiring. And you know, I get daily messages of encouragement from people from all around the world, and so yeah, it's great. I mean, there's such pros and cons for being signed and not signed. I mean, basically it's like having a team of people helping to get your music out into the world, and at the moment it's just me, so it's but you kind of just have to trust that that will come when it's ready, you know, the right people will appear when it's.
You mentioned how you put like your albums as a book. I've seen them, they look absolutely amazing. So where did that like come from? Because it looks really original. It's been quite different as well.
So my mum used to run nightclubs in the 70s, so the basement of our house was full of vinyl. And when I was growing up as a kid, I just used to see these beautiful, beautiful records. And when I came to wanting to release my own music, I was kind of like, what? Why can't I release it on vinyl? And, you know, at the time, people were downloading music for free, and there was just no money in music. And I just decided, well, I just don't want to just have my music downloaded. I want to create something that is just really beautiful, and I want to tell the story of what it is to be a singer-songwriter. And I want to, you know, I'm an artist anyway as well. I'm a painter, and I just wanted to have that element incorporated into it. And so at the first one, it was kind of an experiment, and I wasn't expecting it to kind of take off in the way that it did. And it was just, it met with such incredible reception all around the world that I thought, okay, this is obviously the right thing to do. So I've just kind of kept on going ever since. And it just means that it lasts, you know. I'm kind of detached enough from them now to be able to pick them up and look at them and be like, and really appreciate them for what they are. Because writing a song, you know, it's a time in my life, and then that time's gone. And every time you re-sing that song, for me, I'm singing it from a different starting point.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? So when I kind of look back at the books, it feels like a different person sometimes now, because it's, you know, 6-7 years ago, and so many things have happened since then, and I am a very different person. So that's where it came from.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Absolutely amazing to see the insight and everything about you. And again, music was amazing. And we hope to hear more of you soon.
So now we're going to hear from Tallulah Randall, and then we're going to say goodbye to you, which is really sad. But we hope you enjoyed the show and the fantastic performance from Vanessa Marie. And we will hear from you. Sorry. You will hear from us next week, when I'm going to be reviewing and interviewing Anthony Misson from Company Chameleon. And Mark is going to be reviewing War Songs, which is the latest PCI production.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, fantastic. So thank you for listening, and goodbye from everyone in the studio.
Bye. Bye.
And next we've got the SRA chart.
students
in Leeds,
delivering over 100 hours of broadcasting made by 300 students every week.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
And
it's all about you.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Would you say we'd be venturing into a zone of danger?
Danger Zone, every Friday from 7 p.m. at Fab Cafe, playing the pop and rock anthems you love. With drink deals all night long, there's only one place where everyone's your wingman. Danger Zone, only at Fab Cafe.
Family-run business with over 40 years' experience in providing affordable and reliable accommodation.
Winners of the Leeds Landlord Award.
You should look no further than Spencer Properties when choosing where to live next year.
Spencer Properties own all the homes they let out and work closely with the Knowledge Project to promote safe, reliable housing for student and professional communities.
Visit spencer-properties.co.uk for more information and follow at Spencer Prop on Twitter for all their latest listings.
Spencer Properties, the number one provider of quality accommodation in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Live from Leeds University.